Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Hey, everybody. It's Jamie and Brian here. Before we start the show, we got to take a second to talk about our new sponsor, Promescent. They hooked up everyone at Gas Digital with their Climax Control Spray. It's perfect for any man who wants to last longer in bed. Brian, have you used it yet?
I haven't gotten laid in forever, Jamie. I don't think it's for me these days.
Same here, bro. I'm on a drought. And you know it's bad. Well, listen, we won't get into our relationship problems. Let's be honest. The majority of men do not last long enough for their partner to have an orgasm. And it's not because they aren't man enough. It really comes down to science. On average, men take about 5.5 minutes to reach climax, where women take around 18 minutes. So you got to be doing work, son. With whatever you got, whatever your strongest attribute is, you better have 18 minutes of work, and you don't get that. Oh, well, all right. Listen, Promescent was developed by doctors to help bridge this gap. Just spray some Promescent on you and you will be left with next to normal sensitivity and usually have stronger orgasms from the prolonged build up climax. All right. Go to delayspray.com. That's easy to remember. Don't delay. Go to delayspray.com so then you can delay in the bedroom, all right? Don't be busting too quick, Buster. If you want to use the promo code, that helps us. It's JOSTA15. You get 15% off your purchase. That's delayspray.com. Use the promo code JOSTA15.
Ladies and gents, we are here in this episode 16 of the How Awesome Is This podcast. We will get back to the regular recording schedule of the JOSTA show in a day or two, but I have been on the metal tour of the year with Megadeth, Lamb of God, Trivium, and Hatebreed. It has been awesome. If you've caught a show, thank you so much. We appreciate you. If you went to the VIP at hatebreedvip.com, you are our heroes. And listen, if you're listening to this on Sunday, come check us out in St. Louis tonight, 6 p.m. set at the amphitheater there. Or if you're listening to this on Monday and you want to come to the Minneapolis show, please come to the Armory. And remember, 6 p.m. set, get to the merch early. If you missed out on the event t-shirts, go to martyrstore.net, martyrstore.net, especially for the Subway Series t-shirts. If you missed out on them on Jones Beach, those are up now. This episode is with Howard Jones, my good friend, and also a hilarious comedian named Ian Finance, who you've seen on, what was the show he did with Tracy Morgan, right? He was on that. Wasn't he on The Last Gangster?
Oh,
what's it called?
The Last OG.
Or what?
Yeah. A bunch of our buddies were on that. Derek Gaines is one of the leads on that show. He has a show on Gas Digital Network.
Oh, nice. Yeah, called, and remember,
you could've... No Need for Apologies.
And you could have heard this way sooner if you would subscribe over at GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code JOSTA. Like right now, you can still get like the Big Trouble and you even have it as listed as Big Trouble in Little Tokyo, but it's actually called Showdown in Little Tokyo.
My
so you gotta change that on the Gas Digital site.
I will.
You're like, oh, Mr. All Asian movies are the same, you bastard. No, Also, How Awesome Is This episode 17 for Beastmaster, and How Awesome Is This number 19 for the movie Over the Top, which no spoilers. But anyways, those are up now. GasDigitalNetwork.com. Plus, there are Metal Tour Diary podcasts going up on Gas Digital, as well as Patreon.com/JOSTA. So for those of you who just joined Patreon, I want to give some shout outs. Shout out to Kevin Tobin. Big thanks, just came on board as an official patron. Also, Kevin Silverman, two Kevins back to back. But one's Kevin with a Y, okay? So don't get it twisted, Buster. Kevin Silverman, another official patron. And thank you to Tyler MacDonald. Shout out to Tyler. And James Hall, coming on board as an executive producer for the podcast. Speaking of executive producers, we got some executive producers for the And JOSTA For All record, which is coming out next year. I want to give a big thanks and shout out to Jamie Kutcher over in Guilford, Connecticut. Shout out to CTHC. He's also on the Patreon. Thank you so much, Jamie. Also, Kurt Toby in Hamilton, New Jersey. Just got his name on my very special thanks list for And JOSTA For All. And also Jordan Donegan in Lee's Summit, Missouri. This is for you.
Thank you for supporting the show.
If you are watching on YouTube, make sure you like, subscribe, hit the bell, leave a comment on Brian's new intro, which was awesome. And it's interaction is key. If it's on iTunes, if it's on Spotify, I don't know. What do you do on Spotify? Do you like, do you subscribe?
Yeah, you can leave a five-star
review. What is it?
Yeah, you can do all that stuff on Spotify.
Right on. And today's episode is brought to you by the Mad Russian. Just go to the show notes for some great beard oil, some tattoo balm, some foot balm. They have so many great products, and it is made with love and care. And that's why we love the Mad Russian. And shout out to the Mad Russian, who came out to the show in Boston, which was awesome. Even though it's seats all the way up to the stage, which is a fucking bum out. I think they do that because they're like, oh, Lamb of God, they do that wall of death. Let's put the fucking seats and mess up their wall of death so we don't get lawsuits, right?
Party poopers. All of them. I have a crazy story about the wall of death, though. Lamb of God was playing during it was an Ozfest out there, or it might have been Mayhem Fest. And me and my buddy are fucking being degenerates and rolling blunts just in the crowd. And fucking they go to play doing Black Label. Yeah. And the crowd split open and I'm just sitting there rolling a blunt just in the, like, there's no one.
And you got moshed.
It was like running from the Red Sea, crashing back down on us. I just got out. My buddy got smashed. And I turned around and looked, and there was like a huge motherfucker just got launched into the air like he was shot out of a cannon. It was the craziest thing. I have
you
no
got
idea
caught in a mosh.
Yeah, it was crazy, dude. It was the craziest shit I ever saw.
I love when people get caught in a mosh. That's my favorite, especially when it's a hater who's mad that everybody's going crazy for us.
Dude, I was into it.
You had your money on your
I was being a degenerate.
Your mind on your ganja and your money on your
I was like, oh, we got a break in the action.
No, you didn't. You got caught in the mosh. Today's episode is also brought to you by IndieMerchStore.com. Use the promo code JOSTA10 when you go over to IndieMerchStore.com and you get yourself some awesome gear, or maybe you pre-order some new records, or maybe you want to get some vinyl from Cannibal Corpse. Or I don't know, maybe you want to check out all the new restocks that they have in, because it's constantly being updated when you go to IndieMerchStore.com. And the thing that we love about Indie Merch Store is they have it all sectioned perfectly. So you can go to restocks, you can go to new arrivals, you can go to pre-orders, you can even get your friends gift cards like coming up for the holidays. Christmas is what, dude, like 73 days away or something?
Can you believe that? Say that.
No, 93 days away. Am I fucking that up?
No, I mean, I don't even know. I'm bad at math, but it's way too close.
Cattle Decapitation, Homivore, Reissue, CD t-shirt bundle. You can get the hoodies. You can get the long sleeves. They got so much good shit. They got that Whitechapel pre-order, which the new Whitechapel is hard. You know them. You love them. IndieMerchStore.com. Use the promo code JOSTA10. Also, check out martyrstore.net. Again, I just want to plug that real quick and thank Bodette, who's holding it down while I'm away. And we will make sure that if there's any event shirts left from St. Louis and or Minneapolis, those will be up at martyrstore.net. Who else is bringing us today's show there, Brian?
We got Rock Auto. We got to thank Rock Auto in case you need to do some do-it-yourself car repair. They're probably the best place to go. There's no promo code. Just go and tell them the Josta Show sent you.
LoveRockAuto.com. Appreciate the support. And we do want to let them know that we move the needle when you order anything from RockAuto.com. If it's parts, if it's products, please mention this show because they support the podcast and we want to support them. You know, if you need a brake kit, or, you know, they have every brand. I mean, seriously. And they got rebates. It's all the car parts you'll ever need. RockAuto.com. And just mention the Josta Show at checkout. All right. We got episode, what is this, 16 of How Awesome Is This?
Yeah.
How Awesome Is the Show?
How awesome, how awesome, how awesome is this podcast?
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the show. This is, what episode is this, Brian? Episode
16.
16. All right. 16 episodes of the movie podcast, How Awesome Is This, where we will determine if Mortal Kombat, the 2021 version, was awesomely good or awesomely bad. And my guests today, or co-hosts, I should say, are comedian and podcaster, Mr. Ian Fidance. Is it Fidance or Fidance?
Fidance. Fidance.
Fidance. Ian is a new...
A-N-C-E, yes.
He's a new talent on the roster of Gas Digital.
Yes. Welcome to Gas Digital, sponsored by Kratom and Boner Pill.
Hell yeah, dog.
Yeah. And fucking CBD. Fill her up. Fill her up with fucking Kratom, Boner Pills, and CBD at Gas Digital.
Fill her up with nothing that's approved by the FDA. Fill her up with we don't know the side effects.
Already shadow banned on YouTube. Also joining us, you know him, you love him, the frontman of Light the Torch and serious hiker, fisherman, dog owner, great dude, the one and only Howard Jones.
Black Alpaca as well.
Oh yeah, co-vocalist, co-frontman of the Black Alpaca supergroup. Howard, how are you?
Oh, you're muted.
Oh shit, Brian, you got to unmute our guy Howard here.
I mean, how are you?
Ta-da! What's going on?
Good to see you. How's it going over there in Black Alpaca land?
Oh, can't complain. Can't complain. Yeah, ready to do this. Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat. Listen, is the techno song for Mortal Kombat, is that like to ravers what, say, Sweet Caroline is to like Yankee fans?
It's just always there.
I mean, it's one of those things where if you do the da 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 da, you cannot. It's illegal to not go Mortal Kombat.
I need to do it at a show. I think what we're gonna do is we're gonna jam like the hard version of that da 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 da, or we'll just play the sample and then hold the mic out and see if the audience does it.
Oh, for sure they will.
No way they won't.
I don't know why you didn't do the song. I mean, that would have been incredible instead of this stupid like EDM version that was like a Coachella remix that was in the movie. I didn't like that. It needed a fucking bite to it.
We got like Avengers blue balls, you know, they kind of just like hinted up to it. And then like right before the theme hit, they were like, nah, fuck you.
Yeah, I just think that they were probably looking at what metal has to offer right now. And they're like, we could get in big trouble for this. Like the name scare them away. I mean, they'd had Fear Factory on the original soundtrack, right?
Did they?
Let's pull, Brian, so, can you pull up the original Mortal Kombat soundtrack? Because I'm pretty sure they were on it. And there was maybe like other bands that had a little industrial flair or a little electronic in there, like Pitch Shifter or somebody. I can't remember.
I'm just glad, you know, we're here talking about Mortal Kombat and, you know, Jax's stunt double is here. Howard, thank you so much for joining us.
Howard, I know that you've been offered like film roles and stuff and you probably turn them down because you don't want to hurry up and wait and memorize lines and shit, but you could have easily done that role and fucking killed it.
Yeah, I mean, Howard, could you have done the role? Are you a bad enough actor?
Oh, there's the soundtrack. Wait, wow, oh, George right. Clinton
George
is
Clinton
on this?
Was on that soundtrack.
KMFDM?
Geezer, is that Geezer from Black Sabbath?
No, I think that's a Jizzer. I think he's one of the outtakes from the Wu-Tang Clan.
Whoa, Napalm Death is on there.
I knew I knew Typo Negative was on the soundtrack. I remember that.
Wow, Buckethead.
Wow. Buckethead is on there. First of all, Buckethead was the worst guest I had on Headbangers Ball.
You don't say.
Really?
Dude, they said Buckethead's coming in. I go, well, what's he going to do? Well, he's just going to sit there and do what? He's going to have a joystick. We're like, why? And then they were like, that's what it is. And I said, so I'm going to interview Buckethead. He's not going to say anything. Yeah. He's going to just move the joystick. I was like, oh man. And then it was in the MySpace days and everybody was just torturing me on MySpace. Like, what the fuck was that?
If I were you and I was hosting that show right before they cut to like 3, 2, 1, I would have gone, okay, Buckethead's here. Ladies and gentlemen, start your autism.
That's terrible. Oh God. We knew
joystick.
Yeah.
Yeah, a joystick and a bucket on his head, and he can't make eye contact or talk. I mean,
he plays guitar real good.
Yeah, and he plays guitar real good. Like he probably knows a lot of statistics. I mean,
how great would it be if Buckethead's real identity was just somebody that you would just go, what? Why? What the fuck?
Sebastian like, Bach.
Like, well, Nate Silver?
He is pretty tall. No, like, what if he was like, I don't know, fucking...
Dikembe Mutombo?
How tall is he? Yeah, what if he was like Larry Bird? And we're like, what the fuck? Larry Bird shreds. Who knew? No, like Vince Vaughn or somebody. I don't know. I was trying to think, who could he be? Does anyone know who he really is? Has anybody seen him? Has anybody given up the goods on who Buckethead is?
I don't even know, man. I could look that up after we watch his trailer.
That's what Rick Ocasek was doing when he got bored. He became Buckethead.
Shout out to Rick Ocasek. He had a hot wife.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, and that's proof.
She was a model, I think.
That's proof rock and roll can fucking work magic.
Yeah, didn't he like... Yeah, when he passed away, didn't he like not leave her anything in his will?
No, really?
Yeah, I think he kind of did that.
That's what Jackie Chan said he's doing with his son. He said he's not leaving his fortune to him. He's giving it to charity so his son can work for his own money.
Thanks, Dad. Thanks, Jackie. Do you think Jackie Chan passed on this role?
He just preemptively punked him out. That's amazing.
I know. I would be so mad. Like, you're just sitting on the Jackie Chan fortune, and then you have to go work at, you know, like Sunglass Hut or something. That's terrible.
And what if, and then, you know what? Just to be a dick, I bet Jet Li was like, I'll leave you like 10 grand. Fuck you. And then he's like, what the fuck? Jet Li is fucking cooler than my dad. Yeah. Actually, Jackie could have done Raiden or Scorpion in this, and that would have been badass.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yeah. or Sun Tzu. That would have been sick if that was Jackie Chan.
But I feel like
I'm waiting to see what happens with the next movie. They could really open this up for nerds. this could really turn into something decent.
There's so many like super nerd Easter egg things that go on where they're just like, hey, maybe if we get a second movie, you'll see this thing. You know?
Yep.
Totally. Yeah. I thought. As soon as I turned it on, I didn't read anything about it. I didn't even really see the trailer. But I had heard on Twitter, I saw someone talking about how it was shot in Australia. And I instantly thought of that dude from the Conan movie with Momoa. And I was like, oh, then he's got to be in this. And he was. Mm-hmm. He was General Tycho. And his name is escaping me right now.
Yeah. General Tycho. Close.
the actor.
But I don't remember
what's his
what it is.
Ryko or I forget.
Like
but
that.
But I thought when I first turned it on, I thought for sure we were gonna see, and no spoilers, but I'm sorry. Warning, everybody. No. We're gonna get into it right now. Do we want to watch the trailer first or should I break down the plot?
I got the trailer up. We'll watch the trailer.
All right, yeah.
This is my first time seeing the trailer. Here we go.
Yes. I learned about this 7 years ago on a mission in Brazil to capture a wanted fugitive. When we got there, it tore through our unit in seconds. The target has superhuman abilities. It had the same marking you do, Cole.
It's a birthmark.
What do you mean?
He was born with it.
It's not a birthmark, Cole. It means you've been chosen.
Throughout history, different cultures all over the world reference a great tournament of champions.
That dragon marking?
I think it's an invitation to fight for something known. As Mortal Kombat.
It's literally the coolest scene in the movie.
These are your champions.
Like, look at that location.
That's Kano.
I'm Liu Kang.
Thanks, Jax.
Kung Lao.
Lord Raiden.
The fate of Earth is in our hands.
No matter how many of my people you put in the ground, we will not fail. Kill them.
Trailer came on in the theater before another movie. Do you throw popcorn and jump up cheering if you're a fan of the Mortal Kombat franchise?
Well, first of all, that is the worst get over here I've ever heard. But second of all, that was like, oh, yeah. Like that. He had like, they put peanut butter in his mouth before he said it. He was like, oh, oh.
Well, to be fair, he only spoke Japanese right up until that point.
Yeah,
in the movie, true. Yeah, true. But,
but still,
did you notice
can't do
the...
get over here?
Yeah.
did you notice that he cuts him and then freezes the blood and then stabs mm-hmm. him with the blood? I was like, that's got to be one of the hardest fucking moves yeah. in cinema history.
Yeah, that's pretty dope.
JCVD can learn a thing or two from Mortal Kombat.
Dude, well, I saw that preview. I went to see Nobody, the Bob Odenkirk movie. Which
oh,
is
I
want to awesome.
See that.
Yo, bro, you gotta see it. It is so good. It's like it's like, you know, like junior varsity John Wick, but you know,
yeah,
like an old tax accountant. But it's so good. And that preview came on in the theater, and I was like hyped, but I had just walked in at the end of it, and I was like bummed I missed it. This was the first time I saw it. I thought it was a good trailer.
Yeah, it was the best cut of the movie.
Yeah, it was kind of well explained through that, because there's times where I'm like, what is happening in this movie? And the trailer kind of explained it pretty well.
It's literally
yeah,
like
the exposition.
Too long didn't watch.
Well, they do a thing where like the big secret in the movie was them finding their arcana, and then they just show every single one of theirs in the trailer.
Yes. Yeah, I know that was kind of too much of a reveal, because I liked how in the beginning they established Kano as like he's a dick, but he doesn't have the eye yet. He doesn't have that power right. yet. And then Reptile, who he kills, doesn't look like the Reptile from the game. Or was I confusing that? Is that
no,
accurate?
Reptile's like a legit little, you know, dragon Komodo guy running around.
Yeah, that shit is
yeah.
wild.
And that kind of establishes that they are being sort of hunted and fighting within realms, and they set up the story of like this ragtag group of finding, right? They have to go on this journey. I thought we were going to see the tournament, but I get what they did now. They set up the franchise to sort of just restart, and you knew from pretty much that scene with Reptile, like, oh, okay, they have to kill off certain characters. So let's get into that.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a video game movie. It was, they set it up the best they could to make it like each scene was like a little fight with each character that died off, and then they went to the next one. And that, like, once I caught on to that, it made sense. But I was a little confused in the beginning. I thought the first fight was like anticlimactic, because that's, I thought that was going to be the only time you see those two characters. And I was like, that sucks. But it was such a cheesy beginning when, like, it was like, I love you, family. You'll never leave me. Everything's perfect forever the way it is. There's no way anything could ever go wrong. And then, like, the water slows down. And you're like, wow, who knew you were setting up this big drama?
Like, I got to add to that. So he comes running, you know, you have that slow motion water bucket scene. He goes running back up to the family. And then it's just like, I understand how heartbreaking that is. You've just lost your family. But wouldn't you at least get a WTF because, I don't know, they're frozen in your garden? Like, where's the surprise that all this crazy crap is happening?
Yeah, yeah, where, I felt
where's
that.
Where's the
I
was chisel? Like... Where's the warm water to melt it or whatever? And then I don't mean to shit on the movie like right out of the gate, but if you can time travel and travel to different realms, wouldn't you just time travel back and just have them be alive and thwart the attack? Or was I just did I completely
time travel?
Well, Jamie, I guess you've never been married.
It's like, why don't you just ride the giant bird to Mordor? Wouldn't that just cut out all the travel?
Right.
unless he's just an immortal and he uses the portal to visit his, because I thought he said he was his bloodline, as in 400 years later.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah, well, I was like, I definitely felt for him, like, this poor fella, he has no time to mourn. My God, his family's a popsicle, and he's got to go fight these guys. He really has a lot better composure than I do, because some days I think I'm killing it, but I'm like, if I spill coffee on my shoe right now, I think I'll have a mental breakdown. And he ended up watching his family get frozen to death, and he's like, I'll worry about it later. And then the poor guy ends up in hell.
Why did he go to hell?
What the hell did he do? He was just trying to protect his family and appreciate his wife and child. And this motherfucker, if that guy goes to hell, I got no chance.
I think they tell you later he was also a mass murderer. You just caught him on a good day.
Yes, he was getting his karma. He was paying his karmic debt.
Oh, he was a murderer.
Yeah. They're both ninja murderers.
Oh.
I mean.
Gotcha. I thought he represented like the good part of karate and the other guy was the bad part of karate.
No. They're both ninjas and murderers.
Oh.
Here, Jamie, yeah, one was karate. The other was taekwondo.
Jamie literally texted me about this part. As he was watching it, he was like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck, too, because it's a total black screen.
Yeah, it's not. We can't see it.
Oh, you guys aren't seeing the fucking movie?
No, we just saw black.
Damn it. I guess they caught on. Last time I could show you the movie from this, but this time I can't now. They caught us.
Yeah, they caught on. No. You got to. Okay. You didn't Sons use IPvanish.com/Josta.
God damn it. Anyway, when Kano rips out the fucking lizard heart and he goes, Kano wins, that may be the cringiest thing that's ever been put into a movie.
I thought that was strong enough to do that. I thought that was cool. I was like, man, I'm gonna say that when good things happen to me. I'm gonna be like, Ian wins.
Hey there, auto mechanics and super cool do-it-yourself guys who work on their own cars. I want to tell you about rockauto.com, the online store with every auto part at the best prices. This is your one-stop shop for everything auto parts. Rock Auto has been in business for 20 years and they make it easy to find the parts you need at the best possible prices. No more talking to counter guys who need to order your parts, aren't really sure what you're looking for, never quite have what you need. And then after all that hassle, we'll still charge you storefront markups. None of that, Buster. At rockauto.com, you can easily find everything you need. And whether you're a mechanic, an auto shop, or working on your own car, everyone has access to the same incredible pricing at rockauto.com. So if you're a car guy right now, go to rockauto.com or Girl Buster. All right. I don't know who wrote this, and check out all the parts available for your car. You're going to have so much fun looking at car parts. I know I do. What about you, Brian?
Oh, man, I love playing with toys, man.
I just sent you that spoiler and that fucking muffler that I want to get from rockauto.com. rockauto.com. All right. Don't spoil your muffler. Go to rockauto.com. No promo code needed, as their pricing is already good. When you order, make sure to tell Rock Auto that you heard it on the Josta Show. What did you think of the cast? Because when they set up the Cole Young character, the actor Louis Tan, I thought it took me a minute to appreciate him, because I just was like, this dude looks like he should be on General Hospital or something. I felt like he was too good looking.
You mean the guy with literal plot armor?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. What was up with his armor?
Literal plot armor.
I didn't know. I couldn't follow. At first, I thought maybe this is my racism, but I thought he was Liu Kang the whole time. And then at the end of the movie, I thought he was Johnny Cage.
Yeah, no.
I didn't know he was going to fight Johnny Cage. I thought it was revealed that he was Johnny Cage the whole time.
You didn't hear about this, Ian. They didn't want to cast Johnny Cage in the first Mortal Kombat movie because it didn't seem like it felt right in the climate.
Wait, why?
Because a white guy shouldn't be the hero in Mortal Kombat.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah, dude, look that shit up. It's wild to me.
Is that real?
Yeah, but yeah. But I gotta say, for all the lead up and reading the articles about the diversity in the cast, and they were really selling that hard, they didn't go hard with the wokeness in the film. They actually went pretty gory and pretty cheesy and campy, so it was kind of self-aware. It all felt right. Like, I don't think Raiden or Sub-Zero or Scorpion should be white.
They put on the equivalent Asian accents to like the blackface, the voice accent. it was so heavy handed, like the Asian accents in there. I get it. They're Asian dudes, but the Raiden guy had to be putting that shit on. You know?
Yeah, it was pretty heavy.
It was crazy.
Wait, like our dude from Death Warrant? Or no, what was
Oh, which one was that?
That where he's like his manager and he takes JCVD and he's like, come on, man.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta fight to go too, fool.
It was like the Asian equivalent of that.
Yeah.
I didn't know. All right. I didn't know that they didn't have a white guy be the hero, because that's like bad now. I thought that they set that up to make it to look forward to the next movie. Maybe racism will be over by the time next movie comes out and a white guy can be a hero again.
I think that's what they're betting on.
Maybe that's what they're thinking. I didn't pick up.
Tom Cruise was already the last ninja, or was that last
Samurai? Yeah, true.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah, you're totally right.
Those 3 hours, I'll never get back.
So that is so fucking rude that Tom. Actually, it would be more rude if Tom Arnold was the last Samurai. But wait, no, he was the last. What was Tom Arnold in?
I just watched that too.
The last thing inside of Roseanne.
What was Tom Arnold in? Roseanne's lawsuit? I don't know. Her restraining order?
Okay, I didn't.
So let's talk.
I was going to say, I didn't pick up. I thought it was like, I'm watching Kano and Sonya engage. I was like, wow, they're really letting him be like misogynistic to her. This is cool.
Yeah, but then she has to murder him later.
Yeah, but I mean, also, like, you know, I think it was kind of a step down for the feminist movement because Sonya Blade was so poorly acted.
True enough.
Well, I thought she really brought depth into the character.
She would do this thing where when she would act, hey, she'd go like this. And I'm not here to mess around. You don't have a choice. I've been studying for years. It was like, oh, God, welcome to first year theater school, toots.
Yeah, and, it was a little stiff.
And they never really made it clear that she was like, I really want one of these tattoos or whatever. But when the bad guy was taunting her about it, he was like, you've been wanting one of these your whole life. And it's like, but she's literally never mentioned it. Not once.
I thought it was cool, though, how she beat Kano, because it seemed like Kano was just like all bark, no bite. Like, he was real good at running his mouth, but he sucks shit at fighting.
Hey, man, he killed the lizard. He killed Reptile.
How did he put a fist all the way through that thing? He didn't have his arcana yet or anything.
No, well, he stabbed it in the chest first. So she Sonya, I think, when she like called for a knife and then jumped across the room and stabbed.
That's the other thing too. It was a little dark at times too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that too. I was like, where's the lighting department? Shit the bed.
Yeah.
It's like dark in here. And then I mean, look, we're already going through spoilers. Kano was my favorite part. I loved Brooklyn Kunal, or what was his name? Lorax? What's the guy's name? Cable. That guy.
Lorax.
Cabal. I liked him with his, like, he had like Raphael Ninja Turtle energy.
Yeah, for sure.
But well, I was gonna
say, what about Kano? I guess reminded you most of the game, because at first I was like, wait, is Kano Australian in the game?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then is his beef with Sonya in the game? And then what was the beef with her in the movie? That what was the basis of their argument? There wasn't sexual tension. It was
he's a criminal and she's like a cop.
Oh, here we go. Like Alex Smolin in the chat. Shout out to Alex. He says he killed her partner in the game. That's right. Okay. Okay, good. All right. So now, because I watched it with my daughter and my girlfriend, and they were like, if we've never played the game or seen the game or heard of the game, are we going to understand this? And I said, I don't think so. I don't think you're going to know what's happening, because the setup of the tournament itself, they established that. And that was cool. Because that was different from the old school movie, from what I remembered. The fighting with Goro and stuff was in the tournament, whereas this was like Goro was a fucking bounty hunter or something. Like, what was he doing? He was just going to kill Cole for the realm.
So their plan was to kill everybody with the dragon tattoo, so there was nobody to fight when the tournament happened.
So they're just trying to rig the fuck. So basically, they're two political factions rigging the election, or I don't know. They were.
Jamie hates making money on YouTube, by the way. He really does.
Oh yeah, we delete that. Yeah, we can't say the RIG word. But Goro looked way better in this movie. I was impressed with the CGI. I thought the CGI was gonna suck, and the gore out of the gate from the reptile kill. And then the Goro kill. And what was the one in between those two?
Oh, Luke.
Where she got killed by the Zildjian ride symbol.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. That was great.
Luke Kang, sponsored by Zildjian.
The Zildjian helmet. That was great. How did that motherfucker have such a sharp hat, but he could catch it with his hands without his fingers getting cut off?
Yeah.
Magic, bro. I don't know.
I'll tell you now. Believe.
Yeah,
magnets. Did you say magnets?
How do they work?
That's all.
How did he catch the hat? Magnets. I mean, that would be.
How does that work?
Just Liu Kang has magnets for hands. He catches the fucking sharp symbol. You know what was great too is they even had some sketchy jokes in there. Well, not sketchy, but the whole thing about him saying, what, you know, you and your sombrero and stuff, that if that joke was told at like an Ivy League college, they would burn the college to the ground and fire the professor. But in this movie, it was totally fine. So I
thought they got away with some, like, and it's so funny how neutered we've become as a culture, because I'm like, they got away with some edgy jokes and literally called a hat a sombrero. And I'm like, oh, my, I'm getting the vapors.
It's remember the 90s?
They let Kano have a little bit of Mel Gibson come out.
I think they could do that from him because they already established him as like the bad guy, but he was like a likable bad guy. But when he turned his back on the Earth realm, I got so upset. Like when DX broke up in 98, when like China and Helmsley turned their back on DX, I sobbed as a child, and last night was no different.
And you know what? If you've ever met a real bogan, like if you ever met a real sort of, like their version, like the Australian version of kind of, you know, a dude that we would meet in Memphis or outside of like Jackson, Mississippi or something. I wonder if he's like a real, like their version of kind of like a white trash dude that's kind of a dick and a racist, but he's sort of lovable.
I think that's the whole country, right?
Dude. Who do we have in here? Who do we have in here from Australia? Let's shout out the patrons here. So we got Ryan Levson, Jeremiah B, Tyler Stadawiak, Vincent Jewell. What's up, Vincent? TJ Buggins. What's up, TJ? Chad.
That Green, sounds Miles Australian.
TJ Buggins.
Hi, it's TJ Buggins.
you made him sound like some Scottish orphan.
I'm not good at accents, mate.
He's like, the sun'll come out tomorrow. Single wide D, shout out to D, Niall, Chad Green, TJ Buggins, Alex Smolin, Nick Jones, Andy Wilson, Jared and Crystal. Thanks for joining us. So did you guys watch the movie? And if what characters did you not see? Like Howard, which I know who you wanted to see.
I was just honestly, I really didn't have like big expectations. And so for me, I was just like, okay, I just want to take this in. And so I watched it twice. And so I don't know. It's not like I don't have my eye on it, but I want to see Raiden do.
Yeah. I was hoping we were going to see Baraka.
They didn't have a big enough budget for Baraka. That's the next flick.
That'd have been nice though.
And then what's the other one? There's another one that we didn't see, but we saw there were some Easter eggs of certain characters, right?
Yeah, they had the big Shao Kahn statue.
Yes.
That was dope.
They set up Johnny Cage.
Was Cole a character in the game?
No, literally made to just be the hero in this movie, and his power was plot armor. It's crazy.
Plot armor.
Yeah.
I thought his power was he had those little arm shin guard things.
Well, he also had literal armor that protected him from dying at any other time in the plot would have killed him.
Yeah.
And it just happened like right at that exact second.
That's what I noticed. It's like, okay, so you know, Kano got his Arcana when he got like mad and upset, and then it seems like Cole got his when he turned into a pussy.
Yeah. He was like, oh no, my family's under attack.
He's like, I can't defend my family. My daughter's in my corner, man, and she watches me lose, but somehow I'm still her hero. There's my Arcana.
His daughter was the corner man. That was just like, what am I watching here?
That was like, cheesy to me.
It reminded me like when Mike Perry had his girlfriend in the corner and she's like, use that move I showed you.
No, it's like Diego Sanchez with his fucking guy now.
With his like force field guy. That shit is crazy.
What is happening?
Like to have your daughter in the corner, that's such an eye roll move. Like at least have her in there with that like grizzled old guy. And you know what I mean? Like To put the fight in the hands of your 13-year-old daughter, it's like, what are you doing? I know she's a girl boss, yes queen, but can we, you know, have a little bit of reality in this interdimensional fight tournament movie?
And who was that grizzled guy with no good news ever?
just some dude.
Why didn't he have anything good to add? It's just like, this is all you got? Well, bye.
Yeah.
You done fighting for $200 a pop, kid. they can involve her in the sequel, right? Like she'll be older in the sequel, and if she's from that bloodline, she's from the blood of Hanzo Hasashi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll make a girl scorpion because of fucking, you know, girl power.
Well, yeah, listen, her if you look, Outworld is way better than like Outdoor World, Bass Pro Shops, in my opinion. And I thought everything that they had was like a little bit too close to something else, like the Nether Realm and Raiden's the God of Thunder. Like they borrow little things here and there, but they made it their own. It's cool, but I also thought, you could have done. It kind of took me out of it. I felt like they could have done a little bit more, made it sound more mystical and magical. I don't know.
Yeah.
He's just sitting on a throne out there. It was like, don't you have a roof?
What kind of magic makes robot bitch arms turn into robot like fucking chat arms?
Oh, Iron Man?
Like no, fucking Jack said like bitch robot arms.
He got those old Terminator arms off the back of a truck. They were terrible.
I thought since Sonya Blade was like the feminist leader, her arcana would just be the power of passive aggression. And she would just be like, you know, I just think it's funny how, you know, you think you can do it. And then the other guy would just kill himself to get rid of the problem.
Were they up for a tall task with this movie because of the Gamergate shit and the incels? Like, were the you could be pissed, right? If you put on the trailer and fucking Sonya Blade doesn't have two basketballs for tits, like in the regular video game. Like, I feel like in the video game, the tits were just so out of control.
Well, I tell you the truth, like I didn't know anything about this movie. I didn't know about like the woke controversy of like not a white lead. Like, that's so stupid. But watching it, I didn't notice any like overtones or like whatever. I thought I enjoyed it for what it was. I thought like a fun, you know, like how do you make a movie about a video game that's just one versus one to the top? And I thought for what they had, they did it pretty well and set everything up. And again, like, I'm such a neutered pussy, I was like, Kano really has a mouth on him.
Well, have you ever played DC versus Mortal Kombat?
Yes. No,
I've seen it, but I haven't played it.
Oh, me and my nephews, they would have fights over it. We used to always play it. And the first thing I thought when I turned the first, whatever, 5 minutes of the movie on, I thought, this is better than Justice League already. Like, it looked better. It felt better. The pacing was better. They should absolutely do Mortal Kombat Justice League crossover now that this kind of establishes this universe. And the game is cool where you can be Sub-Zero and fight the Joker or fight Batman or whatever.
But Superman. What do you do when Superman shows up and just fucking fucks shit up? Like, it doesn't make any sense to me.
You kill him. Death to Superman. Goes like,
well, that's what I was thinking when the humans were fighting these Netherworld people. It's like, how's Liu Kang body blocking a blade from Cabal, you know? Like, whatever.
It's like, these people are supposed to be like fucking old. Like, they've been practicing for quite a while, I would imagine. Just can't walk up there and
Did Cole Young feel shoehorned in?
Oh yeah.
Because I thought, oh man, is he kind of is this like them? I could picture execs going like, we need that tap out crowd. Like, we need like the guy who shops at Target and, you know, watches UFC. Like, how do we get them to check this movie out? Like, we'll cast like an MMA guy as one of the characters. He won't be in the game.
I was trying to figure out who that guy was. I thought he was a playable character, but I mean, maybe they did that to make him like the everyman or whatever, like, you know, but they didn't even make him a good MMA fighter. They made him a guy who's like past his prime and shitty.
Yes. Yeah. He was just getting handled.
Apparently on like a 5-fight losing streak, like even the underground dude was about to cut him, you know?
He wasn't even in Bellator. Like, he was in like the regional.
Yeah, dude. He was like fighting in a basement for $200 bucks.
He's getting paid $200 a pop to try to support his wife and daughter in their like trailer in Texas or whatever. I mean, God, this poor guy needs a stimulus check. Holy shit.
Don't know. And the fate of our world is on this guy.
but then somehow he gets the power and the strength to kill Goro.
Yeah. I feel like, I mean, Goro was the closer for the very first Mortal Kombat, and he was, he was relegated to fighting in a barn. It just felt a little.
The movie was also
like, they could have done more.
About 50 minutes too long, so like that fight happened early in the movie comparatively to everything.
Yeah,
else.
When Goro came out, I had to look at the timestamp to see where I was in the movie because I was like, movie over? What is this? Like,
no, there's 45 minutes left.
And
I did not think the movie was too long at all. I actually felt the movie moved really fast because I had texted you like at whatever part.
Yeah.
And like I thought right that we were getting a whole tournament still.
It's almost a 2-hour flick.
It didn't feel that long.
I did think it went. I thought it flowed good. It flowed well. And it was, I didn't think it was that long. I was just surprised that Goro came out so soon. I was like, is this the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I figured he would be more towards the end of the movie.
You didn't even get to see him rip anybody's head off. Although I'm pretty sure they're bringing everybody back to life. Like that. He collected everybody at the end of the movie and he was like, all right, we'll see you bitches later.
Well, I thought it was a cheap move to thaw out Cole's family at the end. I was force. And this guy couldn't thaw out his own family, and he's like, protect my bloodline. It's like,
yeah. And he didn't get revived. He just died and went to hell. It was just,
I was like, you know, he's like, that's going to be such an awkward conversation when he thaws out the family and he's like, I'm your great, 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 great grandfather. So nice to meet you. Cool.
He only knows the one phrase in English, though, remember?
Oh, yeah, true. That's the thing, too. He was speaking to him, and he says all this stuff, and I'm like, he didn't understand a word of what you just said.
No, they established pretty hard he only speaks Japanese, like right
now. But how great is it that they had a cafeteria at that place? That I was like, wait, so they're just – is this a community room, or is this like – I'll see you in the calf after training. Like, what was that? And that where Kano realizes that's Arcana – it's like over an egg roll. Like they literally put egg rolls in this movie. I was like, okay, you know what? They're
delivery there.
that cafeteria was a community college where Cole has to get his GED because he can't make it as a fighter anymore. And he has to go back to school.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. It was like gateway for the netherworld or whatever.
It had some interesting parts in it.
And was it buffet? Like, who was the cook? I had so many questions.
That's what I was thinking. And then he looks at his cell phone when they're in the cave in the netherworld. I'm like, who's got a charger, or does he just plug into Raiden?
Yeah, what about Cabal and Kano's previous encounter? Do we need a spinoff Netflix show or an HBO Plus show with Cabal and Kano, like the odd couple? I would watch that.
Yeah, dude, the guy who voiced Cabal is Australian, and he made him sound like he was like a Brooklyn street tough.
Imagine if the guy who played Kano was from Brooklyn.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Wow. It's like a Power Man 5000 song, When Worlds Collide.
So... or if they did a prequel, and they had Kano and Cabal, like the Cabal before he had to wear the thing. Because why was he wearing that thing? What was his explanation again?
Kano did something to him.
Yeah, he did something. So he's in an iron lung. That was it.
That he could walk around and fight in with fucking crazy hook swords. I mean, come on now.
I hope when I get in an iron lung from smoking, I'm as cool as Cabal, you know?
I'm going to have to quit soon because I'm going to be a felon if I don't.
Oh, yeah. They're making menthols illegal.
I'm about to go get 9,000 cartons and start a black market.
Oh, my God. I remember we were on tour with a band. I won't say who, but it was like the day before Ephedra was being outlawed, and they just went to like every
gas station.
What? Holy crap.
I won't say which singer of which band did that, but let's just say we were all popping stacker fours. I remember Fat Joe had like a stacker ad. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so what about Sub-Zero and Scorpion? Did they have to find their Arcana? Like, could that be in the prequel or the spinoff? How did Sub-Zero find his Arcana?
Man, they're old-timey ninjas. They had that shit.
They just had that shit. They didn't have to discover it like the ones with the tattoo.
Or dude had to go to hell.
Scorpion.
Yeah, Scorpion had to go
to
hell.
I thought it was interesting. Scorpion really loved taking off his mask a lot. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
In the end, he's like, when we walk around with masks on the street and your friend can't hear you and you have to take your mask off to be like, it's good to see you. He just kept pulling his mask off and was just like, and another thing, and another thing, and one more thing to let you, one good to know you on.
I guarantee you that was his agent getting that written in to the legal paperwork for the contract for the film. I guarantee you it was in the contract that he had to show his face. He's probably telling his family and stuff, no, that I'm in Mortal Kombat. You'll see. And they're like, well, how are we going to know it's you? It's just some dude, you know, because this came up with the Mandalorian, like dude from Game of Thrones was like, yo, I got to take the Mandalorian helmet off. And they're like, no, that's the whole premise is you don't take the fucking helmet off. And he's like, all right, I'm out. And they're like, fine, we'll just cast somebody else and fucking have somebody do voiceover and see you later.
Well, yeah, well, you know, people can be fucking bitches. And
I thought it was very accurate though that Scorpion, when he took off his mask, he had very mangled teeth, and it's like, well, I bet they don't have toothbrushes in hell.
Not the tastiest of mouthwashes.
Yeah, your teeth are going to get messed up when you have to brush your teeth with Satan's asshole. So,
well, they have a chef, they have a private chef and a buffet and a cafeteria. Like, you would think they would also have that bathroom with the mouthwash and the Q-tips, like at the spa when you go and you're in there on like the guy side. You ever do that? You ever get like a couple's massage?
Mm-hmm. No.
And you
no.
No.
And they give you like the flip-flops and the towel. You never did that?
Oh, no.
Man, this guy. What right. I want to know is, at this cafe, who's cooking? Who's doing the cooking?
Like, yeah, it would be great if like it would be great if the race of beings that makes up Goro and his family, it'd be great if they were like a line cook and a prep cook, and they're just, you know,
that's
handling multiple plates.
That's where my head was. But like, for the bad guys, Goro's all pissed off because he's got to go back and do all the cooking.
Yeah, and Goro comes home from work and his wife is talking, and with all of his hands, he's like, nag, 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 nag.
Goro could give multiple reach arounds. Goro could the things that Goro could accomplish. I mean, it's incredible. We won't go there though.
I mean, if the flies on Goro could talk. Hey, I actually have to run.
All right, Ian, what would you give this? Is it awesomely bad, awesomely awesome? 1 out of 10, 10 being the most awesome.
I would say it's awesomely awesome. It's a good fun family romp at the cinema. You get what you paid for, which is, you know, $5.99 a month with an HBO Max subscription. It was a fun, silly movie. I'm going to watch it again. I didn't have high expectations. And, you know, I mean, what? You saw people get their heads ripped off and smashed. What more do you want? You know, it was like the gore, the violence of what I wanted in a Mortal Kombat movie with the attitude of an Australian Kano. I couldn't be happier.
Yeah, I wanted three things. I wanted to hear "Get Over Here," "Flawless Victory," and "Finish Him." I don't think we hear "Finish Him."
You gotta finish them.
We got "Finish Them," but I wanted, when Scorpion, you know, set Sub-Zero on fire, I wanted someone to go toasty.
Yeah.
So I said that. I kept going toasty when the person I was watching with was not happy.
Like, or like the Bronx Tale. He used to be white bread. Now he's toast.
That'll be in the sequel.
Well, Ian, thank you so much. Where can they find you?
Oh, man, this is a pleasure, man. I had so much fun. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitch. IAnimal69 nice. Is my handle for both. Twitch.tv/IAnimal69. IAnimal69. IanFidance.com. Next weekend, I'm going to be at the Funny Stop in Akron, Ohio, May 7th and 8th. Bye, guys. Every Thursday, 11 a.m. on Gas Digital. Ian's Infinite Playlist every Friday, 1 p.m. on SiriusXM Radio, Channel 99.
Awesome. Yeah, make sure you come back again, Ian. The chat enjoyed you. Thanks, Tyler, for saying that. And we'll have you back for one of these movies. What was the one we were going to watch before, Howard? It was like "I Come in Peace" or one of those.
"I Come in Peace." No, "I See You," right?
I forget.
I've seen, I have seen "I See You" like four times. I love that movie. I will come back and dissect it. Helen Hunt's face looks like a melting scream mask. I can't wait. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Ian. Appreciate it.
Thanks, all right, man.
Bye. Hey, thanks, chat. Bye, guys.
Hey, everybody. It's Jamie and Brian here. Before we start the show, we got to take a second to talk about our new sponsor, Promescent. They hooked up everyone at Gas Digital with their Climax Control Spray. It's perfect for any man who wants to last longer in bed. Brian, have you used it yet?
I haven't gotten laid in forever, Jamie. I don't think it's for me these days.
Same here, bro. I'm on a drought, and you know it's bad. Well, listen, we won't get into our relationship problems. Let's be honest. The majority of men do not last long enough for their partner to have an orgasm. And it's not because they aren't man enough. It really comes down to science. On average, men take about 5.5 minutes to reach climax, where women take around 18 minutes. So you got to be doing work, son, with the with whatever you got, whatever your strongest attribute is. You better have 18 minutes of work, and you don't get that. Oh, well, all right. Listen, Promescent was developed by doctors to help bridge this gap. Just spray some Promescent on you, and you will be left with next to normal sensitivity and usually have stronger orgasms from the prolonged build up climax. All right, go to delayspray.com. That's easy to remember. Don't delay. Go to delayspray.com so then you can delay in the bedroom. All right, don't be busting too quick, Buster. If you want to use the promo code that helps us, it's Josta 15. You get 15% off your purchase. That's delayspray.com. Use the promo code Josta 15.
So Howard, for the sequel, do you think they should cast like a Keanu Reeves type character for Johnny Cage, or should it be someone super young and handsome and unknown like the
The Miz, bro?
Yeah. Oh shit, The Miz.
Are they really going to do that?
I don't know, but that's like the online campaign to get The Miz cast as Johnny Cage.
It would make sense. He does look the part. But I just don't know how much. Hey, a little training, I'm sure we'll do great. This will be awesome.
I wonder what the tournament is actually going to be formatted like in the movie, you know? Like, because they used all the set pieces. Like, they had the bridge. Dude got uppercutted off of it into the spikes. You know, like all the fucking iconic Mortal Kombat scenes were kind of in there.
Yeah, I pictured that little part in, was it Thor Ragnarok, where they borrowed from the Planet Hulk animated movie with Hulk being in the sort of gladiator pit fighting the other. And that kind of reminded me of Goro, right? The CGI sort of was Hulk-esque. And I thought, you could do some really cool matchups with the CGI. But I thought all the practical stunts and the practical effects were cool, where I could tell, you know, they were.
Yeah. Yeah. I watched it and then watched it again and paid a little more attention. And it's like, okay, I like it. I thought I was not going to enjoy it. I really did.
The MMA in the beginning was mostly realistic, like looking, you know, like it was just people fast rolling essentially. But it was like, I was like, oh, wow, those are real positions. Like, this isn't WWE shit, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you know how He-Man kind of borrowed from all different stuff and they admit it in that whatever that documentary was. This, I felt like they, especially the Iron Man type of arms for Jax and the Netherworld and the different elements, I felt like were borrowed, but it was still fun and it was still cool. I really went in with such low expectations, and I remember the other movies just being total garbage. Like, I remember watching one, I don't know how many Mortal Kombat's they've made, but there was one, it was so bad. Like, I think it's Annihilation.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's five or six.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It was, I thought it was a joke. Like, the set with a green screen, like these, they had serious locations in here. Their sets were amazing.
Yeah.
I think we should tell Charlie to watch all of them and then we just don't.
Like a Mortal Kombat marathon.
Yeah. Just go.
Yeah. Shout out to Charlie. He was unable to make this, but Ian was great to sit in. What did you think of Josh Lawson as Kano?
I thought he was great. He really was the scene stealer. Sorry about that.
Pretty much carried the movie.
Yeah, he kind of did. I mean, he was the only one who had an actual character.
Yeah.
Yeah, they didn't really endear you to Cole Young like I thought they would.
No.
It was like, okay, yeah, we're just supposed to like him because he's providing for his family. Like, there wasn't much depth, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, he sucked until he got magic powers.
Mm-hmm. And Sonya.
Yeah, she was a little bit of like the weak link. Makad Brooks was good as Jax. I just thought they could have done more with it. It was pretty shocking to see him lose his arms. I thought, like, if you were like, if I watched that with a little kid, like, this was not a little kid's movie.
No.
At all.
No. I think the only trailer was the Red Band trailer. It's like just blood everywhere. That first scene was pretty good. That yeah. first ninja fight when Scorpion just kills all those ninjas. Yeah. That was dope. I was yeah. like, oh, this movie, like, the gore is next level in that flick yeah, for an action.
It really
movie.
Is. It, yeah, and the fight scenes were well done. I enjoyed it.
So what do you think is going to happen for the tournament? They're going to be they're going to have Baraka. They're yeah. going to have Johnny Cage. But where do they go with the story? Scorpion survives?
Everybody, I think everybody kind of survives because
no, Sub-Zero's dead.
Well, Shang Tsung picks everybody up, and in the story, Sub-Zero turns into smoke. Sub-Zero 1 is the character Smoke later on, and then there's another Sub-Zero with a fucked up eye.
Oh,
and he's okay. like a good guy. So Sub-Zero 1's always a bad guy.
Yeah, oh, Sub-Zero's just too cool of a character to get rid of.
Yeah.
They spent some time on his stuff.
Yeah, they have to.
Nathan Jones, that was the actor's name. I was trying to find it this whole time. He plays Reiko, General Reiko or Reiko.
Okay.
He used to be a wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And he was great in the Conan movie with Momoa too. I like when guys like this keep getting roles and working. He was in Mad Max Fury Road and stuff.
It seems like he's just a set piece because he's 9 feet tall and 500 pounds.
Yeah, you it's know? Great.
Like it's we're great. Just going to be like, we're just going to dress you up like the craziest thing we can possibly think of. And then just grunt.
Yeah. Yeah. Yell a bit, swing a bit. We're all good.
Oh, it's a great gig. Angus Sampson plays Goro. He was also in Mad Max Fury Road. He's another Australian actor. Even though that was mostly CGI.
Imagine it's
probably image capture, right?
It was like the Disney movies where they just reuse the same movie and just change the background in CGI. You find out that this is actually just Fury Road cuts with like new CGI.
Well, I enjoyed it. I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Same.
You just had to be like, hey, it's about gore and magic.
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking for anything more than that, go watch something else.
I mean,
yeah,
I watch anime, so I'm sure I was going to like
this. What's your favorite anime, Howard?
Wow. David, that's kind of hard to say. I mean, first few seasons, or especially like the first season of Attack on Titan was amazing.
That's a really good one.
My Hero Academia is pretty good.
Gundam Wing. You ever watch Gundam Wing?
A little bit.
Back in the day.
I love Death Note. Let's see. Regarding Zero is really weird and interesting. I've watched a bunch of them.
There's some
I'll have
real
to check
weird
that out. I was going to check out Death Note, but then I started watching the one on Netflix, and I didn't get through
Forget
it.
The movie. It's the anime. There's so many rules and twists and crazy. Yeah, One Punch Man's a pretty funny one, too. Yeah, I could talk about that stuff forever.
I have the entire Death Note series in manga right here behind me. I'll lend it to you, Jamie.
I'll send you the soundtrack. I just busted that out.
Oh yeah, I saw somebody mentioned Baki, and that one's violent. It's crazy violent.
Baki's like rotten.com back in the day. Like the shit that happens in that show is I stopped watching it. I was this is too much.
It is so violent.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
All right. So anybody have questions for myself, Brian, or Howard before we get out of here? And thanks for joining us for our Mortal Kombat episode of the How Awesome Is This podcast. I'm going to say I'm going to give this 7.5 out of 10. I was going to give it an 8, but because I didn't get to finish him, we didn't get to finish him.
No, you got to finish them.
Yeah, that's come on. They missed the boat on that one.
Yeah.
I mean, and then was there any, Nick Jones, my son Steven wants to say hi. Is that okay? Of course. You didn't let him watch this movie, I hope. How old is he? He's like 35. He's like, my son. He's...
Go ahead, say hi, Steven.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Steven, how are you?
Hey.
Good.
Don't watch Mortal Steven Kombat until you're 18, okay?
Steven did not watch Mortal Kombat.
All right, that's good.
Say bye.
Bye.
Be good for dad.
Yeah.
Stay hard.
All right. So we will be back. I don't know what movie we're going to do next. We'll invite Ian back. I was watching Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula.
That's a great flick.
Dude.
I still have to watch that all the way through. I just
the weak link is Keanu with the English accent. That's the only thing that I can totally see you turning it off right when he's like, money penny, this pen you've given me or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah. Although Gary Oldman is fucking ridiculous in that movie.
When isn't he amazing?
That's true. That is a good point.
Oh, he is so good in that. And he was method through the whole thing, right? So he's freaking out Winona Ryder and pissing off Francis Ford Coppola. And just then plus
being a vampire
with the titty hair. I forgot about the titty hair. And then I'm like, oh, my God. And you want to. So that's, I brought this up because of the armor in Mortal Kombat. His armor when he's Vlad Draculia, that armor, the costumes whoever did the costumes for Bram Stoker's Dracula.
That's where they got it from.
Right? It was
definitely surplus from the Dracula movie.
They painted it. They changed the ridges. He was rimmed for her pleasure or whatever. He's like, ribbed. But, dude, Gary Oldman is so fucking good in that movie. And it reminded me of Schlumpf. Do you know our tour manager, Schlumpf? You know Schlumpf, Howard. You know Marcus. One time we played in Romania with Whitesnake and Judas Priest, and it was a fucking hell drive. We had to cross all these borders. Every time we went into a border, there's like sketchy border guards like, no, you can't come in. And then Schlumpf would be like, here's a bottle of vodka. Here's three bottles of wine. Here's some cigarettes. And they'd be like, okay, you're okay. You can go. It took us forever to get to the venue. And the venue was this amazing, like, it looked like Rome. It was like these huge buildings. You know, Bucharest is, it's got a predate or around the same time as Rome. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, he must have got up early because he's like, I went and scaled the steps of the Castle Draculia. And we're like, what? He went out there.
Wow.
I guess you could go out there. You could in Rome when you're in Romania or Transylvania, I don't know. Maybe it's probably not the real deal one. It's probably a tourist trap, right? It's not the real Dracula's castle.
I would guess they've got some pretty touristy stuff.
No, okay. You can actually go to the real castle. What is it? Like the Tepish castle or whatever?
I don't know, but we drove through. I know because he said, we drove through the Carpathian Forest last night. We're like, say that again. Just say that. He needs to be on the podcast. Jeremiah B., you got a Yours Is Ours Is for the Mortal Kombat theme song?
Yeah, can you guys hear me right?
Yep.
All right, so this has been haunting me since my childhood when I first saw the first movie. But in 1994, the Immortals came out with the Mortal Kombat theme, which goes dun 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 dun, and then you know fight noises and whatnot, name drops whatnot. So that was 1994, and then there's another song that goes dun 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 dun. Woo! And that was by Two Unlimited. The song's called Twilight Zone from the Jock Jams Volume 1 in 1992.
From that's played at all the sporting events.
Yeah.
Well, let me
wait,
look it up.
That's not the same song?
It's not the same song.
It's not the same song. So I always thought that the Jock Jam song was a ripoff from the Mortal Kombat.
But it's the other way around.
Like, but it sounds like the Immortals might have to owe Two Unlimited some Jimmy John's or something.
Damn. See, I told you everything is a little derivative of something else with this franchise. Right?
Didn't know.
Thanks, all the guys. Thanks, Jeremiah. All the video game stuff is. I really feel like it's, you're getting creative people in these boardrooms, and there's a lot of money involved. And these guys, they sit on the rights to this stuff, or they buy the rights to it. And then, luckily, with this team, whoever owns the rights to Mortal Kombat, they put together a good team. They executed. I the whole time I was like, I could not have made a better Mortal Kombat movie than this. I was really thinking about it too, because I was impressed with the effects, with the gore, with the sound stages, the music,
yeah,
the score.
There's a lot of ground to cover for one movie. It's just, there was so much to kind of throw at you, and I think they did a pretty decent job. I mean, I want to see the next one.
Yeah,
I will. Same. I will go see it, or I'll watch it at home while eating ice cream and wondering what I've done with my life.
That sounds like my everyday.
I do think, and I do hope that with the next one, they go a little deeper into the MMA and action star world, and get a bigger name or two. That would be cool. Or if they go, like you guys were saying, go into the WWE world, that would be cool as well. But that would be fun. Not as big as Statham, but somebody along that lines.
Get Randy Couture to show up.
Yo,
Randy, I don't know who Couture he could play, but he could just do whatever he wants.
He could be Goro's cousin or something. You know, you just put some extra arms on him.
It's Mutaro. I'm a nerd, yo. I fucking live video game life.
You know, Goro, you know, what they're gonna do is it'll jump the shark when they show like Goro's family mourning him, and there's like a little baby Goro, and he's like, not the mama or whatever. Like,
and then you hear the Kill Bill theme.
Not the mama. And we're like, wait, we've heard that somewhere before. They took that from somewhere. What the hell?
What was that from Dinosaurs?
Yes. Y'all remember the ending of Dinosaurs? It was like the most depressing ending of a series of all time.
Listen, you know Howard knows Dinosaurs because it came on right after Family Matters, and we were both watching that shit every week. Loved Family Matters.
Oh,
and dude
on.
Was
Urkel,
dude
big guy.
Dude was in Die Hard, right? The dad?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Carl.
You heard it here. Yep. Die Hard is just a Family Matters is just a continuation of Die Hard.
Yeah, it's what he does, you know, before he goes back to Nakatomi Plaza.
Exactly.
Here you go. Niall Scollard said George Masvidal is Nightwolf.
They had Nightwolf in the flick. He was just a picture, though.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right.
See, they're dropping hints, man. It's. I think it's going to be worth watching.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be great.
Who's going to be Baraka? You got to get somebody.
Does
hard.
It really matter? You just fucking cover him in latex and CGI mouth, and then, you know, GSP for Baraka. He's on to Marvel. He's making Marvel money. That dude is Bat-Rock the Leaper, and he's going to be that guy forever.
Yeah,
Ron Perlman as Baraka would be pretty hard.
It's just, I don't know if Ron's getting a ton of stuff anymore. I don't see him around that much.
What about Derek Mears? He would be a good Baraka. He was Jason.
Oh yeah, well, he's a giant guy.
He was Predator, right? Derek Mears was Predator in Predators, I think. They do need to do, all right, before we get out of here, let's just talk about the crossover. If not Justice League, if not DC, or one of the DC sort of owned companies, what would be the ultimate Mortal Kombat crossover? Would it be Street Fighter? Would it be
I mean Street Fighter probably, like, or like Tekken.
Tekken, right?
Tekken has all sorts of crazy characters in it.
Neo Geo.
Yeah.
No, what would be hard is
Death
is Mortal Kombat.
Hell yeah, single
beast.
ID. Yo, you ever play the Mortal Def Jam fighting game?
Mortal Kombat versus just Mortal Kombat meets Method Man, Red Man, where they just get them all high. They pump out weed through the Coliseum vents.
Hell yeah.
And then it just turns into a comedy.
And then it's a friendship and not a fatality.
Altered Beast. Get an Altered Beast Mortal Kombat crossover.
Yo, these guys in the chat know what's up. The Def Jam fighting game may be the most fun fighting game I've ever played.
Really?
Well,
it's so fun.
So around the time that the Def Jam fighting game was out, I took a meeting with a video game developer, and I pitched Headbangers Brawl. And I said, you get Ozzy, and then you could unlock, you know, Fred Durst's kill move. He throws like the red hat and it slices you, and you get Tony Iommi's the Iron Man, and the power of the riff fucking compels you and melts your face off. You know, I had all the moves. I wrote out this
off as missiles.
Yeah, I wrote out every dude, and I had obscure dudes like you could unlock Jimi Hendrix.
Wow.
The guy was like, this is the worst idea. No one will agree to this. You'll have everybody fighting over who, what their billing would be, what their finished move was. You'd have to talk to the managers. You can't clear the music. And then when I talked to a trademark attorney, Viacom trademarked a bunch of ones that are so close to Headbangers Ball.
Really?
So that way you can't grab any of them. You can't. So Headbangers Brawl was technically an infringement on the copyright of. So you'd have to involve Viacom, and I was like, damn, how fucking great would that be if you had, you know, you have Jonathan Davis in there, you get, I mean, just anybody, but you make it so their finishing move is funny or cool or interesting. Like, you could unlock Eddie Van Halen and he fucking, you know, eruption, you just erupt.
Rollins was in the Def Jam game.
It would be amazing.
Rollins is?
Yeah. He's literally the only white guy on the whole roster.
That's crazy.
Because he was a Def Jam artist.
No way. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I did all photos, and I did stuff for one of the GTAs, and I don't think they ever used it, but I went through the whole thing and I thought, oh God, I hope I'm going to be a character in there. And then I never did it.
Next time.
But Howard, what would your finishing move be in Headbangers Brawl, the game?
What would my finishing move be?
It would be My Last Serenade, and Howard would just sing them, and their head would explode.
Bro, you got to do Howard era, bro. See, you just did what I did to Jesse. You did to Howard, because I did that to Jesse. I said, like, Rosa Sharon or something. I fucked up.
Oh, that's for me, I was thinking, what would I do? Probably just quietly leave and not tell him.
The Irish goodbye.
Yeah, seriously.
No, you would have to be like barbed wire around the heart or something. Like, you rip the heart out and like you break their heart. It's like you just, I don't know. I'm reaching.
Oh, that
here,
means but a lot. Yeah, that works though.
TJ Buggin says, get the dude from Trapped to be the bad guy. Dude, he's headstrong in the game. He'll take you on. And then, I don't know. Although, you know what? When we played with them, this was years ago. It was at a festival. It was Everlast, Drowning Pool, Damage Plan, Hatebreed, Trapped, and I think Smile Empty Soul or Puddle of Mud. I always mix those two up because they kind of like, I don't know. Did they sound familiar? Did they sound
I remember
similar?
The name of Smile Empty Soul. I don't know what they sound like.
I don't think they had the hits like Puddle
they
of
had
Mud.
One
had.
Hit. I know they had one hit. Hold on. I'm going to pull that shit up.
Puddle of Mud had hits. You forget how many hits that fool had.
Oh, they had a lot of hits.
But so this show, it was a very weird lineup, a weird show. And I remember being on the side of the stage. I think it was with Sean Martin. It was with somebody. And we were watching Trapped. And, the crowd was digging them. They had that hit song at the time or whatever. And somebody said, yo, that look at their shoes, look at their sneakers. And I'm like, what? And they're like, look at their sneakers. Like, yo, they wear them sneakers from Nordstrom's. Like, you know how when you go into Nordstrom's, they got like $400 sneakers and it's like from Italy and you don't know what the brand is or anything. It's like, you just, you know what I mean? Like, it's yeah. Like Barney's, like those Curb Your Enthusiasm, like what Larry would wear. And dude, I thought that was so funny. Like, oh my God, they're wearing sneakers from Nordstrom's, like with the tight skinny jeans and then the sneakers that you get.
Classy. Hey, I'm back. Like, I'm back. They were looking good. It's all good.
Yeah, like, yeah. No, it was like it was bougie. It was kind of bougie. Like yeah. they don't go to they got a fucking hit. They got a hit single. They're not going to Champs.
I make hit records, baby. Oh yeah, you guys definitely know the Smile Empty Soul song. It was huge, like,
bro. This is Incubus,
right?
This is Incubus McJr.
Anyway, where's the hook? You know this song. No?
Yes, I do it for the love. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
He kind of had a little Chester McJr. going on there. Shout out to Smile Empty Soul. Hey man, one hit is all you need. You could play every the fair.
Yeah.
Like, oh, dude, yeah. I mean, you go into that song, a dude with a funnel cake is like, yo, he just runs towards the stage, right? Or those vegetables that are sliced mad thin that you get at the carnival, right? And just you hear that song in the far, like, who's playing? Oh my God. And you just run.
Is that Smile Empty Soul?
Wait, what was that?
No, never. Sorry.
But yeah, it's sort of like tag team. You know, it's like the words woonk. There it is. Will always be in your vocabulary now.
Oh, for yes. Sure.
For sure. But they didn't. They didn't say that in the Mortal Kombat movie, unfortunately.
No, they did not.
Apparently.
All right, Howard. Where can they find you? And what's next for you?
Actually, just put out a song today with the band Crobot. So that video just came out. So yeah. Check that out.
Again, no one sends me the press release. No one sends me the song. I'm starting to get a feeling here.
Hey, he told us this time.
Hey, he did tell us. I appreciate that.
It's just, that stuff doesn't even cross my mind.
Yo, yours is Crowbar. Ours is... Crowbot. Actually, what happens when they see Dave Grohl and he's like, yours is Crowbot, ours is Probot.
That is true. Did that today. I've got some more stuff from Light the Torch happening here real soon, so there'll be another song. I think another song is going to drop shortly.
Tyler Sadawiak says, what happened with the big news with Light the Torch? Yeah, what was the big news?
Oh, I don't know. What, we're putting out a bunch of music?
Where's King Fighter? Alex Mullen wants to know.
Taking a little breather from it because Peter has a life. So when he's ready, we'll jump back into it. But I'm always doing some other stuff. I've got other stuff happening too.
Right on. Well, thank you for watching this movie with us and joining us again. And, you know, tell your publicist, tell your manager, you know, put me on the promo list. Gmail.
Yeah, I'm surprised you guys did. Well, then again, I've been a little out of touch. Just my head's been, especially when writing and everything, I just kind of lose track of the world.
You wrote with Crowbot too, like right for this song you wrote together.
Yeah, I wrote the lyrics for that.
Cool. cool. No, I saw them on the Motorhead cruise. I was going down, you know, like you could like go into the middle of the ship and there's like rooms where they have stages and stuff because they have multiple bands playing. And somebody was ripping. I mean, they were ripping. And I go in there and I was like, who is this? I was asking somebody. And they're like, Crowbot. I'm like, who? Crowbot.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, shit, that guy had pipes. They were ripping.
Man. Brandon can sing. That guy is fantastic. They're just great guys, great music. It's a lot of fun. And so, yeah, I'd hooked up with them, and I think I flew to Texas for a few days and wrote a handful of songs with them. And
nice.
This is the one that made it.
Cool. I can't wait to check it out. Brian, where can they find you?
Find me everywhere. B McKay's right. Use promo code JASTA for a 7-day free trial if you want to sign up to Gas Digital Network. And go watch Good Sugar with Marcus Santebi and Ralph Sutton. Because that pays my bills too.
Awesome. Awesome. Word. Thanks, guys. Have a good rest of your night. Thank you, everybody who came over from Patreon. And we'll let you know what the how awesome is this episodes will be for the month of May. But who knows? Maybe we'll have Ian back. Charlie will come back. But have a great weekend. Great. And thanks, everybody.
See you guys.
Bye.
Produced by Brian McKay. Executive producers Jake Olszewski, Ben Lee, AJ Lewis, Garrett Keeping, Adam Amico, Dan Smith, Nick Torito, JJ Hernandez, Joe Bartovic, Jason Jarvis, Chris Larice, Alex Smolin, Vivek Pawar, Todd McKee, John Blewett, Jesse DeGroote, Richard Miller, Kyle Marg, Nate Leffingwell, Josh Lipinski, Morgan Costner, Mark Tagg, Zapagor Waikato, Niall Scholard, Kathy D'Ambrosio, Justin Steven, Jack Flanders, the Pit Commander, Andy Wilson, Jeffrey Kuhn, Kimo Humalamaki, Jonathan Metis, Brandon Cooper, Matthew Jankowskis, Jason Rary, Jamie Kutcher, Brian Underkoffler, Lee Walker, Matthew Thompson, Matt West, Ryan Maurice, Chad Green, Dallas Hendricks, Jacob Arensberg, Kenneth Moore, Kona Butterflies, Stephen Helm, Richard McIntosh, Jeff Stevenson, Jessica Sheaf, Jeremy Jordan, Ryan Williams, Larry Tooley, Dallas Bolin, Brian St, Nathan Rex Madrid, Cameron Hendricks, Scandalous Official, Joe Motson, Chris Winchester, Let's Talk Resident Evil, Andrew Chase.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the How Awesome Is This podcast with Howard Jones and Ian Finance. You can check out Ian's dates. Go see him live. He's hilarious. Go to ianfinance.com, FIDANCE. Check out his podcast, Bye Guys, on Gas Digital. And check out Howard. You know where to find him. Howard_Jones_music_music on Instagram. Check out martyrstore.net. If you did not get podcast t-shirt or metal tour of the year t-shirt, like for one of the eventees for the cities, we have some leftover from Noblesville, Jones Beach, and we will try to get some up from St. Louis, because I know we had a delivery issue with St. Louis. So if you're listening to this on Sunday, check us out in St. Louis at the amphitheater with Megadeth, Lamb of God, Trivium. Or if you listen to this on Monday, we have one show left, which is Minneapolis at the Armory. My apologies to the Canadian diehards. Those dates are being rescheduled to next May of 2022. And we will not be on them because we have previous commitments, but we wish Megadeth, Lamb of God, and Trivium a great rescheduled run of dates in Canada. Check out martyrstore.net. Yeah, I said that already. Check out rockauto.com for all your auto part needs. And they have universal tools and basically pretty much everything under the sun, whether you need a specific model or specific make of certain parts. Just please try to mention Josta Show at checkout, because all you gearheads who listen to the podcast, you can really help support one of our sponsors and support the show by checking out rockauto.com. And we appreciate everybody who listens to the podcast while working on their car or just at work. Also, really appreciate the Mad Russian. Go to the show notes to click on the link and use the code JASTA21 and get yourself some tattoo balm. If you just got some fresh ink, get yourself some foot butter. That stuff is great. I put it on at night. Also the beard oil. I love the Sochi Snow and the Moscow. The other one, what is it? Moscow Nights.
I forget the name.
Smells very good.
It smells like Russia.
Especially when you're... thank you. Big thank you to the Mad Russian. Use the promo code JASTA21 when you go to the Mad Russian site. And also, cannot forget about IndieMerchStore.com, who's killing it right now with all the Whitechapel pre-orders and the Cattle Decapitation Home of War reissue pre-orders. So get on over there before the colored vinyl sells out. Check out the restocks. Check out all the great merch at IndieMerchStore.com. Use promo code JASTA10. And last but certainly not least, visit GasDigitalNetwork.com. Use promo code JASTA. Check out my bonus content page for more of the movie podcast, How Awesome Is This? You'll see Beastmaster. You'll see Showdown in Little Tokyo. You'll see Over the Top. And you'll see some Tour Diary podcasts. If you like the Tour Diary podcast on Gas Digital and you want to go above and beyond and join the Patreon, you can get 17 episodes of the Tour Diary podcast right now. But act fast because we're probably going to have to take them down soon because there's a lot of snitches out there. And we might have shared some insider information that we'll get in trouble for. So get on there, download them before we have to delete them off Patreon. We love you all. Thank you all. Drink your coffee, do your pushups, listen to death metal. Bye-bye.